Well, yeah, that's okay, Fish. What was that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is Fish and Frank, and we got the one, the only, Tom Fish. Fishbone Charters, Tom Fisher, the man, the fish, the swim around living legend.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's see. What do we got going on today? So let me get rid of Frank and his stupid guitar here. Okay, shh, quiet, Frank. All right, let's see. And
Well, to start off, let's just say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there that raise us fishermen and put up with us.
Oh yeah, the crowd loves that. You know, you're so cool, Fish. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Where's your mom live?
Right here in Punta Gorda. She lives out on Shell Creek.
Pretty nice. Mine's okay. Audience, quiet. Okay, settle down, audience. Studio audience, you know, they get so involved. Yeah, my mom's right here in town too. Yeah. So, well, I guess I should say happy Mother's Day, Mother.
There you go. Get a shout out.
Hi, Mom. And my daughter's a mother. My other daughter's a mother. My son's a real mother. He just tells me I'm too politically incorrect, I'm a racist, I'm all this stuff. I said, why? He said, well, you were talking about that Spanish girl having a hot temper. I said, saying a Spanish girl has a hot temper is being racist?
Oh.
He's like, well, Dad, you can't say that. I'm like, well, I was talking about Barb. She's in the other room. You want me to go get her and ask her if she's got a hot temper? You know? Oh, anyway. So you've been fishing a lot lately.
Fishing a lot. This is time of the year where it's in a change. You know, you got your northerns going back. It's finally the ice and stuff is finally thawing out. So they're finally
Got another cold spell coming. Did you see that?
I know.
They got a winter storm zebra or whatever it is coming now.
Yes.
They had to use up the letter Z. So they got another... Denver's got 15 inches of snow.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Well, a lot of them didn't want to go back because they were still iced in on their lakes.
Yeah.
They're going back to fishing hunt this time of year with them, you know. I mean, it's getting ready to kick in. And
You got the stripers, the salmon.
Sure, it's all getting ready to go, but it's been so cold that they've been holding on. Then the ones that drove didn't want to drive back through all the storms that were in the mountains that were coming across.
And the storms, tornadoes and all that stuff.
So they held out a little longer this year. And
I got to tell you, if you live anywhere but South Florida, I'm really sorry for you. If you don't live here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's nice
been,
here.
It's been perfect here.
It's been nice. A little windy, but, I guess it can't be perfect all the time. So a little wind here and there, it's not bad. But
so what you been targeting while you've been fishing?
Well, you know, this time of year, I'm usually in full bloom tarpon fishing. But, since people held in and wanted to go and charter back bay more, you know, longer. So I've been hanging in there and doing a lot of 50-50 trips, half day back bay or hitting the tarpon on the main tides.
I got to tell you, that is becoming super popular. I was
right.
talking to another guy the other day and one of the other captains, and he's going out, and because tarpon fishing can really get to be a mess.
It can be a mess. It can be watching paint dry, or it can be a million miles an hour. It depends on, the bite.
The best captains right now are all kind of mixing it up, because rather than people paying for a boat ride, they're doing some snook, some redfish, some drums, some shark. They're
cobia,
mixing it, matching it, cobia. And this is really the first year I've heard of a lot of the captains. I know you've been doing this for a while, mix and matching, but I'm hearing more and more of the guys doing it, trying to make the trip a better experience.
Yeah, sure. And that's the goal of any captain.
Any good captain,
any
mind
good
you.
Captain,
yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of boat riders out there.
There's true.
I mean, we got, 5,000 captains in
this
area? There's a lot of guys that want to take you for a boat ride. It's cheaper.
That's right.
A lot less work,
yeah. They're already paying for the gas.
Yeah, so it's, but... So, you're going out, where you been looking for the tarpon?
Well, you kind of stay with them. Of course, this week coming up is going to be a main. If anybody wants to tarpon fish, this is your main tides. You got your full moon coming up probably Tuesday or Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
So, you got your main, what they call the hill tide, which has nothing to do with the hill at all. It's just
when you look at it on a tide graph, it looks like a big hill. It just goes up and down.
Sure. This is the tide that the tarpon actually get on what we call the hill.
Right.
In Charlotte Harbor, and that's kind of
up inside, just inside of the intercoastal.
Right. Yep. And they'll get on that super high tide, And then when that tide turns out, you know, everything dumps in 6 hours, and it goes from a plus, you know, a foot and a half to negative a foot and a half, you know, right. in 6 hours in Charlotte Harbor. So you got a lot of current. Your crabs are flowing. Your bait's flowing. It's skittles going through the pass. So you have that. So that's going to be a main draw there. That will make also your beaches hot because they're going to come up onto the hill. So you got the, like you say, the inside, the ICW is going to be hot on your tide. And then when they go through the pass, you're drifting down through there, you know, crabs and stuff through the pass is going to be hot. And then, of course, they're going to flush out and go to the beaches and go offshore.
A lot of the guys, we had two captains called up, said they saw thousands of tarpon move in about 4 days ago.
Yeah, they're coming.
I mean, literally thousands just boiled in.
Well, the main reason they come here, nature has done it, you know, nature is perfect, but it, you know, it brings the food and unrecognizable source through a certain area which is tight, so, and that's why they feed here to spawn and get fat, and that's why they come here from all over. And
when they leave here, they spread from Costa Rica to Louisiana, and they're coming from the same places.
Right.
It used to be fun grouper fishing when you're offshore, and all of a sudden you'd see the thing of tarpon come over, and they're just porpoising, hitting over the surface of the water.
Pods. Yep.
You could set your compass. If you were out there, your electronics broke, just follow them. They're going to the pass.
Guarantee. And they still do. And this is why they come. And they were here last month a little bit. And what we have here, what people have seen spread out through here, has all come for that. And your cobia will come when the same tides, they come with them. Of course, along with that, you get your sharks, and they follow them. The tarpon and the cobia and everything. So this is a big draw for the rest of the summer right here in these tides all the way through July. And
now, I've been talking because the last few years, tarpon season started sometimes in April and March and all that. But April's been a big tarpon month.
Mm-hmm.
This year it wasn't.
They didn't get
here. You remember 15, 20 years ago, we never counted on tarpon until May.
Sure.
It was May was the beginning, the official beginning of tarpon season.
Sure.
And it kind of hit that thing this year. That,
right.
You know, well, that's way back in time to hear.
Right. April, May, and June usually are big tarpon draws here.
But only for the last 15 years
right.
or so. Before
exactly.
that, it was May, June, and July.
Sure. And well, now, all the way through September.
Yeah, it still runs late.
Sure.
But May, June, and July were the big months. And now we've kind of been seeing April, May. April is the April, May, and June, and I'm wondering this year if we're going to get that extra month, if they're going to stay real heavy through July
they
used to.
I think they will. I think they'll actually, we know we've had it, we've had as many tarpon here as we've had in May all the way through until September. You know, some of your big ones will pot off and they'll move up the coast and move on as the tides diminish, as your full moon gets away from us. And, what kind of squashes tarpon season in Charlotte Harbor is the heat.
Yeah,
not
too
a lot
hot,
of people can go in July and August, spend 6, 7, 12 hours out on the water. It's really hot, and the water's hot, and the sun's really binging on us. So that's always kind of squashes. That's why everybody kind of says April, May, and June. They want to break up in July, and nobody wants to go in August. Yeah. But they're the tarpon. The fish are great.
July and September and August.
Sure.
Yeah. We really slow down right after the 4th of July. We have that's kind of the end of my season.
Right.
It drops right there. Now, August last year was as good as January. We had a great August, beginning of snook season, everybody
sure.
prepping up and all that. This year, it's always iffy what's going to happen, but August, the last half, the 4th of July, wherever that is, that's our last big weekend. And then it's just like you walk off the end of the table.
Sure. And it does for guys, too. If somebody wants to come down, and a lot of people come down in the main tarpon seasons and never call it tarpon. And they've been here 4 years and still haven't called it tarpon. They've had them hooked. They've jumped them. They haven't boated one. They're still looking for that first tarpon. And I tell them all the time, if you're still looking for your first tarpon, you ought to come late July and August. Because the pressure's off of them. The boats are off of them. And it's a lot easier. Your numbers, my numbers anyhow, personally go up in July and August. I'll go 6 for 12.
How are you fishing them in July and August?
Just like you do now. I'm fishing with thread fins.
Okay, you're fishing thread fins, free line, bobber.
Yep, all of the above.
Now, are you hunting the tarpon out through the middle holes, or are you working out by the beaches now?
Well, and that again is the difference between a guide and somebody just going. We stay with them. So I'm there every day. And if I miss a day, if I go back bay fishing for the full day.
Like today, Mother's Day, right, took a day off.
Exactly. But I know I got 3 or 4 guides out there that I work with, you know, talk to every night, and they're tarpon fishing. So they're going to tell me what they see out there.
So today, are the biggest concentrations more... I'm going to get you to help me fill in the tarpon map in just a minute. We do a tarpon map. For those of you who don't know, it tells the latest, greatest places for tarpon, iffy spots and better spots. But would you be moving more out to the intercoastal or beaches?
Oh, yeah, definitely right now. I'd be on the hill, what they call the hill, inside the ICW, and I'd work the beaches. And if the weather permit, and if the wind's not bad, you know, they're running offshore. And there's pods running up and down the beach anywhere from Naples.
Now, you can use old-fashioned jigs out in the Gulf.
Sure.
You can do anything you want to. Sure. Captiva pass, you can use them.
You can troll
anywhere, but Boker and pass, then you're restricted on what you do and what you don't do.
Sure.
But what do you find the best when they get out in that deep water in the Gulf?
Well, I'm looking, if I see a pod and they're not moving, or the pods are moving, but there's pods around me, I'll anchor up and dead bait them on the bottom.
Okay, in the Gulf?
Sure.
Really?
Well, and the action is better because you have sharks, you have your cobia, you have your kings, have stuff that'll take
when
stuff.
When I'm doing a mixed bag, I do a little bit of a steel leader on it. I use a little bit of single strand just over the hook and then switch to mono. What are you using?
I'm just using mono.
Really?
Just mono.
Oh, you're bad to the bone. You're bad to the bone.
I tie a few hooks, but you know, the action's faster, and so that's what I go for. People are happier when the rods are bent.
Oh yeah.
So.
I was more of the lazy guy. I get out there, and when I'm doing the golf and I'm fishing deep, I'm using about 6-8 inches of single strand. Now, not real heavy. I only match my line.
Sure.
So if I'm only using 30-40 pound test, I've only got, you know, 40 pound single strand, and I use about 6-8 inches of it.
Sure.
But it really, you know, saves me from retie.
Don't do a lot of tying that way.
Yeah. What I've been doing, using the little ones, and I'm putting the appropriate swivel on there, and I'm tying some heavy mono to it, and then up to my braid, but it's not for what most people think. It's for my fingers. Because when I grab that leader, I want something heavy there so that when I haul it up, I'm not getting my hands all cut up.
Sure.
So I'm going from my hook, a little bit of 40-pound steel, single strand, and then I go to 60 or 80, you know, 60-pound mono for 3 feet just so I can grab it.
Sure.
I'm just getting to the point, I just don't like my fingers all cut up all the time.
Sure.
Because
sure.
You grab that, you grab braided while you're out there, that fish lunges, man, you're cut again, and salt.
Gloves.
There.
You got to invest in some good gloves.
Yeah, but my gloves always blow out of the darn boat. You know, I can keep the 60-pound leader in there. I have a hard time keeping the gloves. Every time I hit the throttle, I forget to put the gloves in the box, and next thing you know, I'm gone. The gloves are over the back.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you do it all the time, so you're more in key with it. I keep forgetting the darn glove, and that way, so I just went to the mono leader.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, that's what we're using. We're using the mono leader. But, I'd target... I don't run offshore a long ways. Some people do, and the tarpon fishing is great out there at times.
3 to 10 miles out.
Sure.
That's where I used to go. What are you doing?
Yeah, 3 to 10 outside the last bell buoy.
Well, the last bell buoy is what, 7?
Right. So if you go another 5 miles off of that or so.
Yeah, I'm within a few miles of the last marker on the channel.
But that's my tarpon. I mean, you get them on the beach moving. Anytime you can spot them. And you mark them going down, you know, over 2 miles, you know, the pods or something like that. Get in the middle of them, dead bait them on the bottom.
All right. Now, when I was doing it, I would see the tarpon going down the beach, trying to figure out, you know, the direction, then just slam the throttle, get up ahead of them, drop anchor, get my baits out, and hope they were going to come by me.
Sure. That's a good method to let them come through, too. And depends on how the wind's
doing. Are you
going
into the tarpon?
I'll troll the motor. I put my trolling motor over, and I'll stay away from them, casting distance away from them, and I'll work a pod up if I don't have a lot of traffic on the beach, if there's a lot of tarpon fishermen on the beach.
What do you mean by work it up?
Well, I'll go the same way the tarpon are going. I'll stay ahead of them. So I'm presenting my bait off the back of the boat, my thread fins or what I'm using to them. but I don't let them actually make it to my boat. I keep moving my boat with them. So I'm moving as fast as they're moving, in the direction they're moving, and I'm keeping my bait
trying
in
to
front
stay
of
just
them.
Ahead
well,
of them.
You always have to have your bait to their nose.
Yeah.
If you're throwing from their butt a pass and trying to bring it back to them, your hookups go way down. But if you stay ahead of them, the way they're moving, they think they find it.
Gotcha.
They think it's their idea.
Right.
So they're eating it. And your hookups will, you know, your numbers will go up greatly, actually. So what I do is I try to stay above. Now, a lot of times they'll move too fast, or the wind's going, it's pushing you back into them, and the control motor won't keep up with the waves and the wind, so you can't do that. That's when you want to get ahead of them. Anchor up, fish them as far as you can cast to them, and fish them all the way around the boat, and as they pass you, then get out behind them and run up ahead of them again. And then again, if you have traffic, like I was saying, there's a lot of tarpon fishermen out this time of year, and if they're anchored up or somebody else is above you, there's times where you got to just give the pod up. I mean, here comes, there's another boat sitting up here, and you work it, you know, maybe 100 yards or so away from them, and then you let them go, and you go
let
back.
Let the other guy get his shot. He's been waiting on him. Let him have a shot.
You've had your shot, and give them up, and go back to where you were, and another pod will be coming by.
Yeah, and people forget that if everybody works together, everybody gets fish.
That's true.
If you're trying to, you know, if you try and be like you're in Boca Grande Pass and push everybody out of the way,
it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, if you want to fish like that, go to the pass.
Yeah,
that's how you fish there.
That's it.
You know, that's why we always want the pass to be open, because they all go there.
they're
not on the beach. They're not in the harbor. We want them in the pass. But I do fish the pass once or twice a year, just because, you know, you got to get your fix in NASCAR. You know, you got the boats, you got the fish, the crowded conditions. Everybody's running around. You got the bikinis. You got the beach. You got everything there.
I do the traditional
steroid
drift.
Fishing.
I'm still doing the traditional drift. I start and drift through and go all the way inside and come around the outside and come back through. And I'll make a couple drifts in there. When the tarpon's right, when they come off the hill, when they come from the beaches and they get there, I'll, you know, and it's for me, maybe an hour.
Now, do you use your fish finder?
Sure.
You're not a traditional fisherman. As soon as you say you got a fish finder in your boat, you're a newbie.
But I'm using a drift.
We got elephants in the room. Follow the elephant! It's coming!
But I'm using more of
a
traditional drift.
The wife is leaving. She's put in a long day. But, yeah. I just find it funny because, see, I don't like that word, because if you're going to be traditional, you can't have a depth finder. I was the last traditional tarpon fisherman in Boca Grande Pass. I was too cheap to buy a depth finder. I'm no longer traditional. I actually have a fish finder on my boat. So.
Well, I like to go up above the hole and drift down through the hole and come back up the other side of it. And then maybe a little bit, you know, to the first bell buoy around there if they drift out that far. And if not, I go right back up and sit at the top.
I don't care either way. If they're hitting on jigs, I'm going to fish jigs. If they're hitting on bait, I'm going to fish bait. I don't have a preference. I really don't. I don't care one way or the other. I'm there to catch a fish.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But
and that's the least that I like. You know.
Yeah. Twice a year.
If I didn't have to ever get in the pass, I'd love that. That'd be perfect for me. But every now and again, you
gotta
jump in.
Oh, you're like me. You'd miss it. If you didn't get it at least once a year, get in there, join the madness. You know, it's the ultimate adrenaline rush. I mean, because if you get a fish on, it's chaotic. If you don't get a fish on, it's chaotic. You know, I. 99.999999%. I will be on the beach. I will be up in the harbor. I don't do a lot of tarpon anymore because I've caught a bunch of them, and I'm not fishing clients, so I don't have any real need to do that. My favorite tarpon fishing is I hit the canals and I get those 10 to 30 pounders.
So they jump a lot. They fight twice as hard.
I love the small tarpon. I mean, I like watching that. Long time in the resuscitation on a little tarpon.
Sure.
When I first started fishing them, I wasn't paying too much attention. But as I've learned now, as you know all too well, you can't let a tarpon go when he's rigid.
Mm-mm.
You got to sit there and hold him. And even with the little tarpon, I mean, I've spent 15, 20 minutes waiting for them to calm down enough to get them going. I've had big tarpon over almost an hour next to the boat, trolling motor on slow, holding them, and they're just stiff as a board, and then all of a sudden they start loosening up, they start flowing, and once they get that snake-like movement back to them, okay, now you can let them go. If you let them go before that, they look like they swim off, but they don't.
No, you're right, exactly. We put the trolling motor down, and we have somebody drive the trolling motor, and you hold them on the side of the boat, and you just, you know, hold them like you would a snook in the mouth, and you just hold them back and forth doesn't work. Because half the time you're pushing the water through the gills the right way, but the other half you're pushing it the wrong way.
Well, I always tell people, if you just got done running a marathon and somebody came up and grabbed you by the ears and started shaking your head around.
Exactly.
I mean, how would you feel about it?
Yep. What you want to do is you want to just let them sit there calm, hold their mouth where it's open.
And just put your thumb or your fingers in his mouth.
Yep. And just let the water go through his gills on a slow troll with a trolling motor. They come back faster that way than any other way.
Well, it relaxes them.
Yep.
And the whole idea after you've run or you've, you know, had a fight or you've, you know, you're doing somersaults down a hill, you just want to relax for a little while.
Yep, you need a minute to chill out.
And that's the same with the fish. Give them a chance to relax. Yep. Okay, you're not going to hurt him now. Everything's over. It's all cool. We had our fun. All right, now let's relax and play.
Yep.
But you don't get to relax for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, until you get the fish to relax. I mean, it's your job to finish the whole thing.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's tough to do sometimes. I mean, it's double tough. But other than that, how has the cobia been? I know you fish a lot of cobia.
Cobia's good. They've came in super hard this year. Last year they did, too. I don't think quite as good as they have this year.
This year, I think, was the best to date.
Yes, it was a bumper crop.
I mean, since I've been fishing, I've never heard of so many tarpon caught, so many cobia caught, so many cobia released, so many cobia kept.
And that's just it. You know, Charlotte Harbor's always been popular for big keeper cobia. And this year I've seen more 30-inch cobia than I've seen cobia period ever before. And that's a good sign.
And next to mahi-mahi, they're probably one of the most prolific fish in the water.
Sure.
I mean, two mahi-mahi can put out 10,000 fish.
Sure.
And cobia aren't far behind. They spawn so often. It's amazing.
Yep, they're doing really well. The cobia are really good in the harbor right now. And you can catch them anywhere.
Where do you
cobia fish? Anywhere there's water, just like a shark.
And I'm very proud of the local anglers and our tourists and our snowbirds, because so many times this year I heard more than ever, oh man, I already got one, I caught a big one, he was a nice keeper, I put him back because I already have my fish.
Right.
And they're not taking that second, third one until actually eating the first one.
And that's great.
That is the mark.
And I believe that came from education. I believe that came from a lot of education. People finally listening and learning and versus just going and doing.
And they're, I think they're seeing what that type of behavior does for the fishing.
Sure.
And no freezers full of fish, no ice chest full of fish. Just,
sure,
you know, what you need, a little bit of what you like, but sure, once you've got yours, let them go until you've used it. And then take another one.
Sure.
And it's worked. I mean, we've got more fish than ever. I mean, it's been getting crazy out there. Going along, have you done any snook redfish stuff lately?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of it. Like I say, I'm still doing a mixed bag of it now, which usually...
Now, you have a complaint about my rods. They're too powerful.
They are.
Tom's using the Fish and Frank. It's the gray camo ones, the 7.5. He's trying our 7-foot. He's going to the seafoam ones. Kind of getting a little mixture of them, you know. But the rod's too powerful. Brings the fish up too easy?
Well,
it gets the fish to the boat too easy.
It's a give and take, though. It's a give and take. It depends. It's a lot like a boat. Fishing rods are a lot like a boat. There is no perfect boat. You want a flats boat? You need to get on the flats and do that. You need a flats boat. Do you want to go off Boca Grand Pass 10 miles in that same flats boat?
On the right day.
Well, the right day, but it's not perfect. I mean, bay boat is a better boat for that in flats fishing. Now, there's no perfect boat. Depends on what you like. If you have kids, you need a higher side. If you have women on the boat a lot and it's a family boat, bathroom one, you know, is gorgeous. They love having those.
We got the Go Girls now. Girls can stand and go just like guys now. We bought those. We're actually selling quite a few of them.
That's true.
Those Go Girls, they can stand there. Now, we'll tell you, the Go Girl, and if you're like me, I use a transmission funnel. It actually means I don't dribble on the boat. And they have a nice hole to tie rope to, so you can rinse it off all the time. But yeah, no. You don't really need that. I'm taking the bathroom out of the situation because we have the Go Girls. You can get a transmission funnel $2 up the street.
Well, and the rods. Back to the rods. If anybody is bush fishing, where you're red fishing or snook fishing under bushes or docks, a lot of people fish for snook under a lot of docks.
It's just hard to go from the other conversation to bush fishing all in one sentence. It's just, it just kills me. I can't do this. I'm not a professional here, okay? So anyway, we're fishing the bush.
Okay. Well, if you're fishing the bush,
your wife's going to beat you, for even being on the radio with me.
All right, back to bush fishing.
Yes.
Mangrove fishing, we should call it, I guess. If anybody has ever, mangrove fish or bush fish, the fish comes out, or you throw it up underneath, and he eats it, and he's staying in there. He's fighting his life off to stay in the mangroves. He's not coming out. He's not going to make the run down the mangroves. Or if he does, he's going to dive right back in and break you off is a big deal. And that's the main thing with fishing any mangrove islands.
The fishing Frank's rod is what we were talking about.
Right, that's the one that you need because it's powerful. So when you hook him and you pull him and you start reeling on him, he's going to be tired before he gets out of the bush. I mean, he's going to fight you out of that bush, but you're going to rip him right on out. And he's not going to be able to make that long run back to it.
Which is not great for captain because you're dealing with fish that are a lot greener. You like your fish a little more tired out before they get to the boat.
But if you're fishing the flats where you're fishing sand holes, potholes, the reef, inside the reef, outside the reef, they hook up. The fish makes his initial run, which is in the middle of nowhere. He's just running.
Right.
And they turn his head. Well, once he turns his head, he's at the boat. Because they reel him right in, because that pole will bring him right to you.
I am okay with you telling me my rods were a little too powerful. They bring the fish up too easy.
They're a little too stiff. So what I'm doing is I'm backing the drags down now a little bit. So when he makes that initial run, they finally turn his head. And then as they're bringing him in, the little runs he's trying to make that he wasn't taking drag before, because the rod's so powerful, it's so stiff, that he actually can make a little zinc, zinc, zinc here and there, and it tires him out a little bit.
Well, you went from a 6 to 14 to 10 to 20.
Yes.
These are 10 to 20s, and they are tighter. They are more...
Great rod.
Well, I did them for the people who fish mostly bait and a little bit of lures.
Sure.
Because that's what I've heard so much. I ask people about rods and reels, what do you do? Well, do you fish lures or bait? Both. Well, which one do you do more of? I do more bait and a little bit of lures. So when we brought out our first rods, that was my intention, was more the average angler, give them that advantage, because when you're not used to fighting a fish, it helps to have a little more power, a little more stuff on your side.
And the hookups are better, too, because that stiff first hit, instead of the rod bending as much and not setting the hook, the stiffer rod will set that hook
in.
It
allows you a little more control.
And more control.
A little more control over the fish. And you and I are to the point, I like our rods. Now, I'm used to a lot lighter action, and we're bringing out our next run will be a lighter action, more of the 6 to 14s and stuff. Sorry. She closed that door, so we don't get any fan or anything. As soon as she closed that, just push it. There you go. That's better. That'll breeze it out of here. I'm sorry. I lit one up, and Fish is over there and doing his nicotine habit, and I ended up doing one of mine and noticed that T closed the doors. So anyway, but if you were going to send somebody out tomorrow to go and just have fun catching fish, any type of fish, if it swims, where would the best place to go to just have fun tomorrow? Catch the most fish, have the best time.
I tell you, Hog Island is really hard to beat right now for hookups.
What type of fish?
Well, that's just it for hookups. If you get in the Myakka cutoff, going through Hog Island on the inside, you have your trout and your ladyfish. On the outside of it, you have your trout, ladyfish, and bluefish. And there's going to be some jacks running down through there, which run every year this year up and down there. And they're predominant right now, so that's going to be strong. Inside the Myakka, the cutoff all the way through to where you can see the bridge at, you have redfish, under it could be under any bush. And when you find one, you're going to find 20 in that pod, in that bush. So you can anchor up and fish it.
Now, bait fish are very, very scarce.
We're
getting a little more bait fish in all the time. It's not, but it's not much.
No.
We've wiped them out enough to the point they're going to have a hard time recovering. guys are doing better, taking what they need, not what they want, and instead of blacking out the wells, they're getting enough to fish with instead of enough to chum for six trips in one trip. So, I mean, the whitebait will start getting better every year. Everybody's getting better about not taking so much. But without the whitebait, I'm going to call shrimp, cut bait, chopped up ladyfish.
They'll all hit that. And I believe what you're saying, but I believe more. There's more of a pie to it, and it's just a whole other show, which is a whole other conversation. But
water everything. But you cannot take 100 boats every day taking 500 pieces of bait. That's
well, and we have more population and more boats coming every
a lot.
Day.
It's just we have to accept the fact that we've killed a lot of the bait. We've knocked it back between us and the commercial fishermen, and we've become worse than the commercial fishermen when it comes to bait. You know, it's just one of those facts of life. I mean, we can't all just take what we want. And all the guys are doing better at not blacking things out.
They don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice anymore, so they're getting better at it.
Also, with that's just a bite. There's a good bite on the inside and the outside right there on the cutoff of Hog Island. Right on the other side of Hog Island is predominant in pups, sharks.
Really, the Mackinac Riverside of Hog Island. Mackinac
Riverside of Hog Island,
and right,
this loaded 2 to 4 is your biggest, and every now and again you'll get a 6-footer. No, I mean,
well,
I'm
you
sure
don't catch a lot of six
there.
Because yeah, when you have a lot of little ones, the only thing that eats those little sharks is bigger sharks.
That's true.
And Goliath grouper.
Sure.
And I never thought a Goliath grouper would eat a shark, and I watched a video of a Goliath grouper swallow an entire, like 3.5-4 foot shark live on a hook, snapped the hook off, went back to the bottom. Can you imagine the insides, what your stomach lining has to be to swallow a 3-4 foot shark live?
Sure.
Good gosh. But yeah, I didn't know there was that many sharks over in the Miaka. That's
the
really good information.
The Miaka is solid right now. I mean, you can't drop anything over out there right off the sandbar out there, anywhere from 4 to 7-8 foot of water right there on that cut. And then with that on, you got the going up into like Tippecanoe up in there.
Right.
You got your redfish and you got your trout. Top water, people want to fish top water in the morning, and shrimp in the afternoon.
What's your favorite redfish top water?
Top water is going to be Zip and Ziggy, Skitter Walk.
Yeah. Now, I've been using the Torpedo again.
Oh yeah,
I got hooked on it when I went back to the Everglades. Forgot how good it was, and been fishing the Torpedo again. Number one lure still right now is the Storm. Nothing beats the Storm right now. I mean, that's one you helped pick. I mean,
that's a go-to. But for top water, it's not top water. It's a suspended. I use in that.
Yeah.
And it's good, and it'll do the same thing.
You should see the snook the guys are getting on this thing. 40-some inch. You pick that lure. It was me, you, and a couple other guys. But, you know, when we did that, we had no idea how many fish this thing was going to catch.
I did. I was using it.
Okay. You were the only one, because I can tell you, I just never expected it. And what a pick you made.
That's a great lure.
Can't believe it.
That's your go-to all around. You gotta have six of them on the boat.
You gotta hear Storm. I mean, they're just having, and no one can figure it out because it wasn't a lure. None of us ever used it before.
No.
And we went on a search. We found it. You found it, and you came back with rave reviews. And we've been selling it, and everybody's using it. It's amazing. But getting back into the Niagara River, you're talking about redfish and Tippecanoe and stuff. Now, how are you fishing those? To me, right now, the best way to do it has been take some live shrimp, medium-ish sizes, and then take some frozen and dice it as small as possible, half a dozen shrimp, take that, throw it on the shoreline, and then throw shrimp in there.
First chum, sure, absolutely.
I mean, the guys who are doing that are catching really nice redfish.
Absolutely. And, you're doing that, and also if you're gonna go out for the day, and you're gonna fish the Miaka, the Cutoff, and Hog Island all the way around it. You know, it depends on what you want to do because everything's there. It's a full bag. You can take some frozen ladyfish, cigar minnows, some live shrimp.
Well, not cigar minnows. You're gonna have to either do sardines or herring or something.
I forget what they're called.
Cigar minnows that we were getting, we can't get right now. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any of it.
I know you like
the
those.
The frozen thread fins are good. Excellent, too. I mean,
yeah.
ladyfish, anything that's cut.
Right now I got beautiful Spanish sardines.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous cut. Spanish sardines. Yep. And they're in the box, not the bag. They won't last long, though, because these things, they're rare than hen's teeth.
And one box of those is all you need to fish with and all you need to chum with. So you're not dicing up your live shrimp or your frozen shrimp. You can get one box of that. You can fish your cut bait. You can use it for chum. That's gone now. And now you say, okay, now you can use your live shrimp. In the morning, you were using your topwater. And now you're going to go out and you're going to take your ladyfish and you're going to use it for cut bait on the bottom. And you're going to catch your sharks left and right. And so now it's a full day. It's
now,
gone.
When you're working your topwater, you like the Zip and Ziggy and the Skitter Walk. They're both kind of Zare Spook type lures. Are you stomping them or are you just continuously moving them?
I use different speeds. I start out very slow, almost like a winter type of fishing where it's just chink, 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 chink. And the hookup is not great on that. But the whirls, the bust, the location is great on it. They can't take that thing above them twitching and twitching and twitching and not going past them. If it's still where they can hear it and see it and feel the twitching of it, they've got to check it out, even if they don't want to. So they'll come up and roll on it or pop it with their tail,
right,
or throw it out of the water and maybe not commit to it because it's not moving the way it's supposed to. But it's twitching and they know what it is. They think they know what it is, so they'll come. So it's a locator going. The slower you go is more of a locator. Once I throw out there and I get a whirl, I'll keep that coming back at the same thing and see if I get another one. And then when I'll throw it back across that again, and now I'll bring it at a faster speed and see what happens. And then I'll throw it out there and I'll bring it back a little bit faster than that. And you'll get, usually you'll get a hookup on it. You'll find a speed that he hits it at. Now you know your speed. They're eating speed and you're locating speed. And those are the two speeds I use in that area for the rest of the time.
As slow as possible to locate.
Just where he's moving. Good just, pops and pops. Yep.
And then you're going to have to throw over that area again and again to try and figure out how fast you got to go to get them to actually eat it.
Right. And once you get your speed, you're golden.
You're getting them upset with the first one. It's like, get out of here. I don't want to listen to this. And then you see them. Then you got to pick it up.
Until they'll actually think, it's a real bait and it's injured and it's live and they'll hit it.
All right. You going to say hi to your boy?
Yep. Hello, Leland.
You got to do that.
That's
man.
That's my boy. That's right.
You got to say hi to the boy.
That's my boy.
At Mother's Day, you got to say hi to his mother. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Mom's had a great Mother's Day.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. You done good there. Anyway, anything else we can talk about?
That's about it going on right now. Your main, the harbor's loaded down with everything. Take your time. This is a great time to go fishing, and you'll end up catching. And versus, just going catching. This is a great time to have fun, to do something that you don't normally do. Say you don't throw topwater. Say you throw live bait or cut bait and you're redfish and snook a lot. Well, go out in the morning and get a topwater and work it and just go play with it for an hour or two and then go do whatever you want to do. And if you've thought about it, or if you want to be a lure fisherman or artificial fisherman, this is a great time of year that will make you want to do it more.
I think that.
Don't worry about catching a ladyfish or a bluefish or whatever. Just let it hit it because the strike and the fight is the big deal.
Yeah, watching them hit, that's everything.
You know, a lot of people say, I don't know why I like to fly fish. They hardly don't catch anything. That's because they don't do it enough, and often. If you go out and fly fish just on a given day, your hookups are going to be minimal. It's
right.
It's just fly fishing. That's the way it is. If you go out and plan on fly fishing in the morning for an hour, you learn something every time you get on the boat and every time you pick up a rod and a reel or a different rod and a reel, you learn something. And you may just be in ladyfish, but you'll see and you'll get to fight, and that will be practice when you get a trout.
See?
And if you catch trout, they'll be practice for when you get a bluefish. And when you catch bluefish, it's a practice for when you get a snooker red. And when you get a snooker red, it's practice for catching a tarpin. All of it will help you.
And you can do shark on top
shark,
water.
Absolutely.
Sharks actually hit top water lures.
Absolutely.
I would call it take out a torpedo or a devil horse or is it 5M or 7M mirror lures with the prop on both sides. Some with a propeller on it to help you create noise. And I don't do as well with the popper. I like the propeller styles. Sure. You know, a great one to start with topwater would actually be that rattle trap. Remember that old one you pop and then let it sit down? You just pull it and let it sit down?
Absolutely.
I don't remember the name of it. I got a whole bunch of them. But then I'd switch to the Storm. Once you start seeing the fish boil, throw the Storm in there and get yourself some hookups. Get some feel for that hit on the lure, because they're going to eat the Storm. There's no doubt about it.
The main thing is the hookups.
But I think I would have more fun finding them with the top water, having another rod sit there with the Storm on it, bring the top water back in, pitch the Storm there, actually catch some of those fish
that were boiling.
Well,
I fished the IFA for years and the Flassmasters, and I fished the professional circuit, and where it's all artificial. And there was never a time, any tournament or practice or locating or anything, that you didn't have three rods that were already hooked up with three different baits. You had your top water. You had your plastic jigs, which is I use a jerk shad and a jig, a bass hook, that way it's weedless if you're in weeds, and a suspended bait, which I actually use the Storm when I was doing that. You get them on the top water, and you're through there, and you've changed your speeds, you've done it, you're frustrated, you've had 9 blow-ups, but you haven't had a commitment yet. Well, now you're going to run a jerk shad back through there, and it's always a two-man team when I was there, and usually most people have somebody else on the boat with them. Somebody throw a topwater, and somebody throw a jerk shad in the exact same line. Now, the jerk shad's going to outcatch the topwater.
Oh, but the Storm will outcatch it 20 to 1. But
exactly.
You don't find them so well when you throw the topwater. You see the boil. The guy in the back is just sitting there waiting for the boil.
Exactly.
Cast at the boil, catches the fish, and then you just switch. The other guy throws the topwater for a while, and you wait for the boil, and you catch the fish.
That's how we do it, and that's how the pros are doing it right now. That's how they all do it, and you can learn that from bass fishing. You see every one of these bass circuits, every one on TV, they got 90 rods on there, and you don't see them retying a bunch. They drop one, pick another one up.
Yep.
I'm going to this bumblebee skitter walk thingy, and he'll throw that 9 times, and he'll drop that one. I'm going to a pink chartreuse. They do it in changing colors. They'll have 8 rods with the same lure in different colors.
Yeah.
You know, just find out. But so it's always good to take a buddy. It's cool in the morning.
It's
kind of like being in the woods when it wakes up. You know, it's cool. The water's not rough. It's in the back bays. Nobody's been there for 8 hours. It's just calm and smooth. And as the bay wakes up and the boats start coming and whatnot, go to live bait. Go to your cut bait. You know, now you're going to catch. Now you're using your scent and your real food and stuff like that. Where a lot of people, I've talked to so many people that said, I got out there in time, I got breakfast, and Mama on the boat, and what? You know, we went out to artificial, we went out to dinner, throw some top waters for this and that, at 11:30, 12 o'clock, or what?
It's tough.
It's over at that time, unless you're just in a huge pot of something.
Yeah, unless you can really find a spot where there's nobody, and that's tough down here.
That's
right
tough.
Now.
That's tough in this
This bay. Is a fishing paradise, and we are having to learn to accept that we have a lot of people doing it here.
Sure.
But, what's funny is you're the first one to ever talk about the places where I fish, because nobody goes there. You know, everybody's all east side, west side, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, down south. And I like getting into these forgotten spots.
Sure.
They're very well known. Everybody knows they're there. But you don't get much traffic in.
Exactly.
And that's why I fish on the Peace River and the Mayaca and all that, because it's the road less traveled.
That's
and
exactly right.
Sometimes there's not quite as many fish there, but I can catch 6 fish instead of 9 that day.
Sure.
And still enjoy myself more because I don't have the
traffic.
I like, you know, when I go fishing, it's to get away.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I do get away. Well, you mean most of the time, all you see is the glint off my polling tower as it heads up in a creek.
Exactly.
But anyway, I guess we should probably wrap this up.
Sure.
I know you got Mother's Day to finish up, and it's actually we only got about another hour. We close at 7 on Sundays, and it's just it's actually about 5:45. So
time to get home.
Yeah, you
get ready
go home
for tomorrow.
So anyway,
thanks for having me again.
Well,
anytime.
Anyway, the crowd actually appreciates that you're here, Tom, and you know only a few of them, you know, were just laughing about it. Only a few. I mean, it, I don't know why that didn't work. There they go. That's the worst laugh track I've ever heard in my life. Okay. Anyway. Okay. There we go. We got exit music and everything.
Right.
Look at that. Listen to that idiot playing guitar. I actually sat down and tried to record some new guitar tracks. I couldn't get they're only 46 seconds long or 60 seconds. I couldn't get that time without somebody coming in going, hey, Frank, you're like, darn it. So I'm going to wait till the store's closed one night and record some new music.
There you go.
So anyway, this is Fish and Frank. And in the chair across from me is Captain Tom Fisher. Click on his picture. It'll take you right to his website. Tom's a great captain. Absolutely, been one of my best friends for a long time now. And I can tell you, go out fish with fish. You're going to have some fun. And we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks, guys.